Hello, folks. It's Pastor Brennan coming to you live in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brennan Live. This is the broadcast that hell hates, and the more you listen, the more you know why. And it's good to be here. And I tell you what, when you serve God, when you do the things that, when you're obedient to the Lord, hell's going to hate you. But it doesn't matter, because hell's going to lose. You know, Jesus talks about how he said, on this rock, meaning himself, he will build his church, but the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Amen? So the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It shouldn't prevail against the church. Amen? And it's good to be here today. It's kind of sunny out, kind of mild out. It's kind of mild out, kind of sunny out. It's all good though. we're going to be talking about being called out of the world, or being called out of Egypt. And so with that said, we're just going to go ahead and get started, and because I got a lot of information to cover today. Love you guys. Please keep me in prayer. Keep this ministry in prayer. Keep these videos in prayer. Because I tell you what, we need to have, we need to get the word out. Amen. We need to have God's word to get out and be shared with everybody. Amen. And so, if you feel led by the Holy Ghost, share my videos, go ahead and do so. Share it with anybody you know and all that stuff. But please keep me in prayer. Keep the videos in prayer. And if there's any time I really do covet your prayers, it's today. It's now. I covet your prayers every day. Amen. Now, I'm going to be talking about being called out of Egypt. Okay? The title of the message is Called Out of Egypt. So if you guys got your King James Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, And there was until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Okay? Now, we see in this particular passage, we see that there is applications for both a literal, for both literal and spiritual application. Okay? Now, the literal application is that when when Jesus was around 2 years of age, because actually if you read, Herod had ordered to kill the children King Herod had ordered to kill. Hang on a second. King Herod had ordered his men to kill any child under the age of 2, and so the angel had to tell Joseph to take the mother and child and flee to Egypt. Okay, so at this point, we see that it was safe for them to come back, and so the physical application, the literal application of this is that he was, Jesus, I hate to use the word baby, but because I'm not even, I mean, it's young child. The Bible calls the Lord Jesus Christ a young child during this time. So basically, it was safe for them to come back. And we see that they had to be in Egypt for a while. And God sent an angel to tell them, it's safe to come back now. Herod's dead. You can come back now. You can come back in Israel. Okay? Now, the spiritual application of this is that Egypt in the Bible is a representation of the world. And I believe that this is a type and picture of God showing us that His Son is not of this world. Amen? And so, we have to understand that even though when Jesus was here on this earth, He was not of the world even though He was in it. And so, we need to follow in that example. Amen? Now, so like I said, Egypt in the Bible is represented as the world, or it's also represented as sin. Okay? So what we see here in Matthew 2:15 is that God is showing us that He called His Son, Jesus Christ, out of the world. In other words, Jesus Christ is of the Father. He's not of this world. Okay? So, with that said, turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 42. And this is what it says. Jesus said unto him, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me." So we see that Jesus Christ is telling you is that He was sent by the Father. He didn't come of Himself. The Father sent Him. So that means if the Father sent Him, He is of the Father. He is not of this world. Amen? But He came in this lost and dying world to save sinners. And as Paul puts it, as I am chief. And so Jesus Christ came to a lost and dying world to save sinners. Amen? And so, in John 16:28, it says, I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Okay, so we see that Jesus Christ came the first time, and He was sent by the Father. Then He went back to the Father. Now He's coming again. Amen? He'll be coming again shortly and soon. And so, we see that Jesus Christ is not of this world, but He was in it. Amen? So, when He first came here, He came here to seek and to save that which is lost, and also to go about the Father's business. Okay? Luke chapter 2, verse 49. It says, "And He said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now, the context of this was when Jesus was a young boy, okay, his parents took him to Jerusalem. I think it was because of the feast day. It was to be dedicated to God. But we see here in that context is that Jesus actually stayed and his parents left. And so for 3 days, after three days, his parents were wondering where he was. So they went back and they saw Jesus with the teachers there, teaching. And Jesus was listening to what they had to say. His parents were obviously concerned about him. But Jesus gives them the answer. He said to his parents, and he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now, shouldn't that be something that we should all do? Shouldn't we all be about our Father's business? Now, when I say Father's business, I mean God the Father. We all, including me, should all be about our Father's business. Amen? And so, in John 5:30, it says, "I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. I judge and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." That shows you that Jesus Christ was concerned about going about the Father's business. And we should have that same attitude. And I think, too, a lot of times we struggle with that. We struggle with that because of our flesh and because of the old man wants to try to creep up on us and try to hinder us from going about the Father's business, but we need to be about the Father's business. And John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up, take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Okay, so part of the Father's business was to seek and to save that which was lost. The Father gave the Son a commandment, and the Son obeyed it perfectly. Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is God in the flesh. Amen? Now, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And John 6:39, it says, And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again on the last day. Now, isn't that comforting to know that it's the Lord that keeps you? Amen. All that the Father giveth the Son, the Lord keeps. That He shouldn't lose anyone or anything, but to raise it up again. Now, there was only one person that he did lose, and that was because Scripture had to be fulfilled, and that one person goes by the name of Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot betrayed our Lord. And it had to be done because Scripture had to be fulfilled. Okay? Now, as we see that Jesus Christ is not of the world but of the Father, and that the Father had sent Him in the world to go about the Father's business. The question I have is, if Jesus Christ is of the Father, not of the world, what makes us think as believers that we are exempt from being called out of the world? Okay? Matthew 10:24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. John 13:16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that has sent him. John 15:20. Remember, the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my saying, they will keep yours as also. So no servant is greater than their master. We have one master. His name is Jesus Christ. If God called His Son out of the world, that means Jesus Christ is calling us out of the world. We're not exempt from that. Amen. Now, Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Since we as believers are to be separate from the world, why do so-called Christians and even churches think they can have both? They think that they can have both the world, and they think they can have God and the world. It doesn't work that way. Okay? Revelation 3:15-17. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I was thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou seest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You read that and you realize this is pointing to lukewarm Christians and lukewarm churches. And those who say they are Christians but are not, but false brethren. False brethren are lukewarm. Okay? Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, some people think, again, they can serve God and keep and serve money. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that money is bad. Money is a good thing. We need it to pay our bills, and it takes money to preach the gospel. But we shouldn't be in ministry because of filthy lucre's sake. We shouldn't be in ministry just for the money. We should be in ministry because we legitimately love God and want to serve Him and want to do His good pleasure. Amen? We should be in ministry to go about the Father's business. Now, how many of you guys have heard of a heretic by the name of Jesse Duplantis? Now, Jesse Duplantis is a clown that is involved, that has a whole bunch of other clowns that he associates with. Okay? Now, Duplantis is a word of faith heretic that has two private jets and is worth millions of dollars. There was a situation recently, probably in the last few months, I think. I can't remember when it was. It was a recent ordeal. But recently he came out asking people to give him $54 million for another private jet that he wants. He's fleecing his flock and he's fleecing other people to give him $54 million for a jet that he does not need. Listen, if I want to go somewhere, I'll just take the airlines. Be better that way. I may have to pay a whole bunch more, but I don't care. Jesse Duplantis wanted $54 million for a private jet, which I'm going to tell you right now, he was doing it to satisfy his flesh. I don't think he really... Now, he might say that he wanted to use it for his church, that he wanted to use it to spread the gospel, but I am willing to bet anything that he was really doing it to please his flesh. While asking for this money, he made a very outrageous comment about Jesus Christ to try to justify his reasons why he wants a new private jet. And this is what he said. He said, and I quote, "If Jesus was physically on earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey." That is outrageous. That comment is so bad. So wrong. That it makes our Lord look real bad, and he's really trying to make our Lord Jesus Christ look real bad by saying that particular comment. That comment shouldn't, he should have never had said that. That's blasphemy. If Jesus Christ were here, I will tell you he wouldn't be riding a private jet. He'd rather choose a donkey over a private jet. You know why? Because when Jesus Christ came here, he left his riches, his throne, to come and be born as a baby. He grew up, and Jesus Christ chose to be poor. For Jesse the Planet to make such an outrageous claim that, like that, is wrong. And it's blasphemy. It's comments like that that make me mad, because what they're doing is they're taking something and they're equating Jesus Christ with earthly riches. That's not right. It's contrary. That comment that he made is contrary to what the Word of God says. And I'll prove it. Okay? Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. It says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. That verse right there shows you that Jesus Christ was poor. And by the way, he chose to be that way. That was his choice. Jesse Duplantis, you are a liar, a deceiver, and a heretic. That's who you are, Jesse. You think that you're doing things by the Bible, but really, you contrary. The things that you say and do are contrary to the Word of God. Matthew 21, verses 2 through 3. Saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. Matthew 19:24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. Jesse, did you hear that? It says that it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus did not have a $1 million jet airplane, and he didn't need to have a mansion or a limo. Jesus Christ was poor, and he was poor that through his poverty we might be rich in faith, love, with all spiritual blessings. And if you want to know if that's biblical, I'm going to prove it to you right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He chose to become poor. Okay? Yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And no, not rich in earthly riches. Rich in spiritual blessings, faith, love, and all good spiritual gifts from God that he gives to his kids. Not earthly riches. Jesus says, Do not store treasures up for yourselves on earth. You're supposed to store treasures up for yourself in heaven, not on earth. Okay? It would be better to be poor and in Christ than to be rich and to be a lost sinner on the way to hell. I'm going to repeat that again. It would be better to be poor and in Jesus Christ serving God than it will be to be rich and lost and on the way to hell. The reason why God, and I'm going to tell you something, the reason why God allows all these false teachers, all these clowns, to say what they want and to do what they want, because the Lord is testing you to see whether you love Him or not, love the Lord or not. Okay? Deuteronomy 13:3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So with that said, we've got we all have a choice to make. Okay, are you going to go in the ways of the world, or are you going to go in the ways of God? If you go through the ways of God, things will be tough and not easy. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be find it. Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter, and shall not be able. John chapter 15:18-19. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world will love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter in the kingdom of God. If you go through the ways of the world, you will be in bondage due to sin, and if you don't repent, you will eventually receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, which will lead to wrath. And I'm going to tell you something. If you guys want to live by the world, let me tell you something. They're going to condition you. They're going to brainwash you. And they're going to put you in a position to where you will love your bondage and you won't even know it. They're going to condition you. They're conditioning you to receiving a mark in your right hand or in your forehead. Okay? Revelation 13:17-18. It says, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let me tell you something. Do you want to know when was man and beast created? On day 6, wasn't it? It's the number of a beast, and it's also the number of a man. Revelation 14:9-11. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his image, or the mark of his name. If people want to go by the ways of this world, that's your choice. But just so you know, that choice is going to start out with conditioning, brainwashing, to condition you to receiving a mark in your right hand or forehead. I'm going to tell you something. If you take that mark in your right hand or forehead, you are not going to heaven, but you will go to hell. Because once a person takes that mark, God says, I'm done with you. Because it's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost to be taking such a mark. By the way, there's a guy named Tim LaHaye. He's the one that did the whole Left Behind series. He believes that you could take the mark and go and still go to heaven. Well, I'm sorry, Tim LaHaye, but that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that if you take that mark, you're going to hell, and you're going to be tormented with fire and brimstone. So, who will you choose? Will you choose to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, or will you choose to go in the ways of this world? Okay, now, as per conditioning, here's an example of that. Matthew chapter 27, verses 17 through 22. It says, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was sat down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto him, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Let me tell you something. Barabbas is a type and picture of the Antichrist. You know why? Because Barabbas was down in prison, and they brought him out. And all these religious leaders, here's something profound. The religious leaders who claim to keep God's commandments but do lie and err and they don't keep them, they were the ones that were wanting the Antichrist or Barabbas to be released. They chose Barabbas over Jesus Christ. They chose Barabbas over Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Right now, there are many people who are choosing the ways of this world, and they will be the ones to choose the Antichrist over Christ. That is why Jesus said that not many people will enter in through the straight and narrow gate, because many people are so consumed with pride and sin, that's all they want. Amen? Now, Jesus Christ died for your sins and paid the price in full. I want to plead and encourage you all, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today is a day of salvation, for tomorrow might be too late. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, I want to say this, and I'm going to be kind of just, we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to wrap it up by saying this. Believers, if you've got 1 foot in God, and one foot in the world and 1 foot in God, and if you're lukewarm, I want to assure you that Jesus Christ loves you. He still loves you. But you need to repent of your sin. You need to repent of your sin so that you can receive forgiveness. Non-believers, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to let you know that Jesus Christ, He loves you. It's not God's will for any to perish. And this world is getting darker. This world is getting really dark. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is and had came to do what He said He came to do, you'll be saved. Listen, I love you all. I don't want to sound mean. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I do have to preach on the whole counsel of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, He loves you. He paid that price. But the Bible says in Psalm 7:11, for God judges the righteous, but God is angry with the wicked every day. And if you're not born again, you are under God's wrath and you're condemned because you believe not the only Son. You believe not the only begotten Son. Jesus wants you to come to Him and put your faith and trust in Him. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to step forward and repent of your sin and tell God that you're sorry and admit that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Well, anyways, it was good to be here with you today. I love you all. I know that was a lot of information to get out. I apologize, I kind of stumbled on some stuff, but I do pray and ask and hope that the Lord would take this and use it for His glory, for His honor, and for His work. And I love you guys. I'm not trying to pick on you, but I have to preach the gospel. I have to preach the whole counsel of God. And if I don't, I'm doing you all a disservice. Okay? Anyways, I love you guys. This is Pastor Brandon. I'm going to be signing off for today. I love you. God bless you. Keep us in prayer. Keep me in prayer. Keep this ministry in prayer. Keep these videos in prayer. Please, pray for my family and I. Pray for, we got a cat. Pray for our cat. He's kind of getting, he gets rambunctious at times. But keep us in prayer. Keep my family and I in prayer. We love you. Until next time, think Bible. God bless you. Love you. We'll see you next time. God bless. Bye.